Good afternoon, everybody. I am Gene Martin. I am a laboratorian based at Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. I have been involved in laboratory testing of HIV since 1985. Things have changed a lot since 1985. But what I'd like to do today is take you through some of the transitions that I think give rise to some questions about how we're approaching things today. So, first of all, I guess I have to tell you that I have no relationships to disclose. And then what I want to tell you is what I would like to do here is to identify and bring infected individuals into care. You notice I put three dots after identify. That's because usually the laboratorian doesn't really get involved with the issue of the linkage to care. And increasingly, that's an important issue. Rapid testing obviously increases the total number of tests that are performed. There's no question about that if you look at New Jersey. In New Jersey, when we started rapid testing in 2004, there were about 70,000 people being tested. Today, there are closer to 100,000 being tested and screened by rapid HIV technologies. But there's room for improvement in the issue of linking those people who are identified to care. And I'm going to show you some slides and sort of bring you along in that process and show you eventually why we ended up adopting a process that I discussed in San Diego and at the recent CDC Diagnostics Conference, an approach called rapid testing. And I want to talk a little bit about the linkage to care under that system. So this afternoon, several goals. I want to talk about linkage. I want to talk about various HIV testing technologies. I want to talk about implementation of rapid testing in New Jersey. And then I want to talk about the impact on linkage. I doubt I'll get to future considerations because I'm sure I will be called off. Why is linking the infected so important? It's important for a lot of reasons. One is it'll increase the likelihood of treatment, which minimizes disease progression and transmission. Higher viral loads increase the risk of transmission. Transmission is greatest during the initial stages of a disease. So identifying people early on and connecting them to care, making that actual next step, is an important first step in a long-term process of managing a chronic disease. Those unaware of infection are 3.5 times more likely to spread the disease. So let's talk about traditional HIV testing. When I first got involved in HIV testing, we used the Abbott's HIV assay that was the first one approved, the first generation. You collected blood, they sent it to the lab, you performed an enzyme immunoassay, it took 3 hours. If that was reactive in singlet, you then did it again, twice more. If either one of those was reactive, it was positive. But remember, the goal at that time was largely to protect the blood system, the blood donor system. And in 1989, the Public Health Service recommended that a supplemental, more specific test, a Western blot or an IFA, be done to confirm results. That was largely done because of problems with false positive results. Today, you perform a rapid test in 20 minutes. If it's positive, you collect a specimen, you send it to the lab, and what do? They perform a Western blot. And sometimes they'll backwards perform an EIA to be faster about it. What do they have in common? Waiting for results. Performing a Western blot. The Western blot is a complicated test from the vantage point of many laboratories that are not high complexity labs. They won't be doing a Western blot. It gets sent somewhere else. Turnaround times can be substantial. In New Jersey, at one point, we were looking at turnaround times of 96 hours or better. This delay in rendering an interpretation has some important implications that we didn't give much thought to. And today we're starting to look at some of those issues. But the good point is the likelihood of a false positive result is about 1 in 250,000 when the Western blot is in place. Rapid test formats, you're probably all familiar with a variety of rapid tests. There are at least three or four available in the United States that are approved for use. They all have antigens placed on a strip. You put the blood sample in, it runs up the strip either with some kind of a solution, and if the antibodies are present, it binds to the strip, and you then develop the color and you can see it. The thing about this is these HIV antigen combinations that are on these strips are not identical. But one thing you've got to remember, a rapid HIV test is it detects antibodies to HIV. It's not measuring RNA, it's not measuring the virus. It has a limited sensitivity. There is going to be a window that it's functioning within. And that window is what we have to deal with rapid HIV tests. But it is at least as sensitive as the more complex EIA technologies you see in hospital laboratories. Typically, assay sensitivity is put at 99.7 to 100%. Now, that data is manufacturers' data when they seek FDA approval, but nonetheless, it means that out of 10,000 people tested, 9,970, you're going to pick up the antibody. In some cases, these tests are more sensitive than the Western blot test that is used to confirm the actual presence of HIV, and that creates problems. But what is really significant in a screening environment is what I'm showing you on this next slide. We took the data from New Jersey Public Health and Environmental Labs in 2004. And what we were interested in was, first of all, how many confirmed positives had we found? The answer was 326. We then went back and we asked the following questions. How many results made it back to the client? Because remember, the client walks out and has to come back in 96 hours, 78 hours, or whatever. Well, in New Jersey, it turned out that only 244 of those results got back to the client. 82 never made it back. Of those, the facilities that were doing the testing requested assistance from the notification assistance folks in Trenton only 47 times, about half. And they were successful in actually finding the people only 11 times. So what you've got is a system where you've located a lot of people who are positive, but they haven't necessarily gotten the information that they're positive, and they haven't necessarily been linked to care. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is not how you test, but who you test, and how good a patient they are. Traditional assays work great in a situation where you have a compliant patient in a compliant setting. But this, in a public health situation, it's not necessarily so, right? In New Jersey, about 5 more minutes. In New Jersey, 7.1% of positives could not be confirmed because specimens couldn't be collected. Another 25 to 30% failed to return for their second visit. In Los Angeles, it's worse. 35 to 40% failed to return. Other urban environments, it's a similar story. So only 70% of these people are getting their confirmed results, and the question is linkage to care. The impact on linkage to care is adversely affected. Why is a combination of issues, but one of them is sometimes delay is an excuse for procrastination when you don't want to hear bad news. So let me summarize. Standard HIV lab paradigm works well in a low prevalence setting. Western blot has a high degree of specificity, but the price of specificity with a traditional rapid test in a typical screening situation is a loss of effective sensitivity. We are picking up only 70% of the people who are truly positive in New Jersey, and it's the same way in Los Angeles, it's the same way elsewhere. What can you do about it? Going backwards, aren't I? What we can do about it is called rapid, where you verify the preliminary rapid test with a different manufacturer's rapid test. Remember I said there were different antigens on those two strips? Well, they've been doing this in Africa for 15 years. It is possible in our setting to run two rapid tests, and with a certainty that approaches 99.5%, we can identify people who are going to be positive by Western blot. So what we've done is to establish in New Jersey a system in which we do just exactly that. Run two rapid tests, one following the other, the person is there for no more than 40 minutes, and then they get linked to care immediately. This is a picture of the process. If you're negative, you drop out immediately. If you're positive, you have two rapid tests in succession, and you then get linked to care. If you're in this gray zone here where you've gotten a positive on one screen test and a negative on another, you get referred to a group of docs that are in the HIV support group to work up that case. But that means the bulk of your patients are now getting moved into care. We are required to get a Western blot, but the issue is not that you don't get a Western blot, it's that if you make your linkage immediately and move people into care immediately, you avoid losing the clients that I described to you earlier. We basically have set up a group of sites. The sites in red all are capable of doing rapid. Is that my link? Is that my bell? I got two more minutes, okay. So what I wanted to show you was experience since 2009, we've done now 50,000 tests. We've picked up 393 preliminary positives. Of those, Unigold verified 365 of them. So we did a rapid with a stat pack or an OraQuick, and it was followed by this Unigold used as the specificity check. These 365 got referred to care immediately. Verified and linked on the same day, 74% of them. If you compare it with a Western blot, remember this, 7% are refusing to be tested to have the Western blot at all. But if you take a look and you say, well, of all those who were rapid positive, first rapid positive, 95% of them will be Western blot positive anyway. So losing all of these people because of this protracted delay just doesn't make sense. If you take a second positive, as I said, 99.5% will be confirmed for you, verified for you, they then can refer them to care. What you've done is to pick up in one day, you've gotten positives and negatives, you've determined who needs to be in care and you've linked them to care. This is data from New Jersey using the two-visit scenario. If you use a two-visit scenario, and it was done with by my colleague Dr. Cindy Paul and Amy Piatek, they looked at 644 cases. What did they find? 33% of these patients, or these who were screened positive, were not in care. 66% did get into care, as measured by counts, CD4 counts, or viral load that's present in EHR's databases. Of those who get into care, 60% do so within 3 months, 41% after 3 months. Sometimes the median time there was 524 days. So a lot of people are getting lost from the process, particularly 33%. Last two slides, or on the shelf. If you take a look at the linkage to care using a rapid, we could link 75% of those people within, at the time we identified them into care so that they had an appointment on that same day. That's 15% more than traditional HIV testing. There are two slides that I'd like to show you. One is when you take a look with rapid, same day appointments, and we divided the groups into where it was being done, academic medical centers or federally qualified health centers versus health departments and community-based organizations. The health institutions collectively were able to retain 26 out of the 27 patients in care. There were issues with the community-based organizations. About half of those patients get lost out of care during the time that followed. And lastly, when we took a look with another batch of data at 100 more patients, or 96 more patients, what we found was 56% or 58% of those who were identified by rapid attended the first visit. 16% actually were already in care and were just simply reassuring themselves by getting additional testing. 6% didn't keep their first visit, and 3% had no referral at all. And I'm done with the last comment that if you take a look at the time between diagnosis and treatment, patients referred on the day of testing positive, 9% more will be notified at a mean of about 11 days sooner, earlier than usual if you use a rapid. I'm sorry to have run over, but thank you.